ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. To such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. Hare Krishna. Before we go ahead with the second page, at least I would like to hear the headings, if you can recollect it from the first page, without anyway, the chopper with me only. You can try to recollect as much as you can. I'll then give you whatever headings come to your mind, so you can recollect. What?
How the mind is neutral.
How the mind is neutral, yes, we began with that. How the mind is neutral, and mind takes the association of either the super soul and mind becomes pure, or it takes the association of
false
ego. False ego, and mind becomes degraded by that. And in general, in the whole world, the mind is degraded because we identify ourselves with the body, which is called a false ego. And actually, we tend to go always towards the lower natures. But it's because the mind takes association of false ego. And then we began talking about the positive edge to peace of mind, isn't it? Many. When we read the shloka just now, we heard, if somehow or other one has conquered the mind, then such a person has already reached the super soul. So how to conquer the mind is the question. So we discussed many things last week, which can help us for a period of time gradually to conquer the mind. Anybody remember one or two points from that? Yeah, shutting your eyes to insult. Shut off your eyes to insult. Did we give examples like Parikshit? Parikshit was shutting off his eyes to insult. When he was insulted by son of Brahmana, the Samikrishi's son, Shringi, insulted Parikshit, but he did not retaliate back. Did I tell you an example of somebody who retaliated back when he was cursed last time? No, Chitrakit also didn't retaliate back. He was given a curse. But he just tolerated. Kaccha and Devyani. Both of them curse each other. That is actually a material tendency. But we can see many examples. Even Ambarish Maharaj was also tortured by Duryodhana. He created a big demon to kill him, but Ambarish did not retaliate back. So as devotees, we should learn to shut up our eyes to insult and tolerate. Then by such tolerance we will grow in purity, and then we can conquer the mind. Yes, any other point? Next. Very good. As he is telling me, sir, I remind him, I should not probe into others' matters. But as sadhus, we have to mind others' business also. So we should mind our own business in general terms. Why? What is the reason why should we mind our own business? Yes. So if you too much probe into others' private affairs, then we have a tendency to find faults and we can criticize. What was the example given? Somebody else can say, please. Somebody else, please come up with answers. Somebody from behind would like to say what example was given for somebody who was probing into?
Story of Ramachandrapuri.
Ramachandrapuri, very good. Ramachandrapuri, how he was finding fault with other Vaishnavas, then later on with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, and then with whom? With his own spiritual master. He found fault. So, any other points? We'll quickly go through so that we can go ahead with the second topic today. Yes, forget and forgive. Do not marry grievances. Somebody has made notes, I think. They are saying exactly as it is in the paper. Forget and forgive, do not marry grievances. Okay, if somebody nourishes grievances, what will happen? What is it like? What is the problem in nourishing grievances? Anybody else? Who has induced bitterness? Anything else?
Revenge.
Revengeful attitude comes, and that is even more worse than open anger. It's like a mental cancer. It creates a lot of complications in the body. It leads to blood pressure, it leads to poisoning of the blood, and one cannot be peaceful. And one is constantly brooding over in his mind about such things. So we should not nourish revenges. We should learn to forget. Okay, anything else? That is also connected to the first point. Krishna Prabhu is saying, don't be a self-appointed advisor. That is connected to the same point, mind your own business.
Forgive and forget.
Forgive and forget, that's right. Anything else? We should have a proper coordination between thought, word and deed. Which means we should not be duplicitous. Don't be duplicitous. I think if you have to really develop friendship with others, you need very special qualities like trustworthiness, loyalty, and sincerity, without which you cannot develop friendship with anybody. So if you are lacking these qualities and if you are duplicitous, then you will continue to pick up quarrels with everyone. So we should have a good coordination between thought, word and deed. Very good point. Anything else?
What
cannot be cured has to be endured. You should know that there are many things beyond human control, which are beyond you and me, and there are superior powers which are controlling us. And there is Krishna and the demigod who are conducting the universe. And everything is not within our reach. We should be aware of this. So philosophy, you know so much. So when we are sometimes put into subjective situations, we shall be able to tolerate them. We should not become overcome by anger. Or we should not lament. We should learn to. Even Krishna says that in the second chapter. What is the sloka? What cannot be killed has to be endured. Matras Pashastakam Tova, Sita Krishna Sutta, Agama Palma Anitya, Pratikshastra Bharata. Learn to tolerate. Actually, by tolerating, learning tolerance, we can grow in our purity again. Something else? Have no expectations. That is the last point to discuss. Have no expectations. What is the main thing in that? Have no expectations. Everyone is looking at the person whether he is bringing me some fruit. And if he passes by without giving any fruit, he becomes disappointed. Isn't it? In the same way, this is a very simple example, but there are many things in our life which we anticipate and we don't get, and we get really upset. So what is Parag Maharaj's address here? Search for happiness within
yourself.
Pleasure will come as discipline is also coming in your life. Automatically. So if somebody is hankering for pleasure, what happens to him? What happens to a man who is hankering for getting something? Is it really useful hankering for something? Why not?
Because it will come
to part of your
karma.
Because of the previous activities, it will automatically come to you. But if a person still continues to hanker, what does he do? He loses that much amount of time and worry in hankering for getting that object. And if he doesn't get that object, he will also continue to worry for not getting it. So this way, this is how one's mind is such, people get hypertension and all those things, problems arise only because of such unwanted hankering. One who knows the philosophy can really control his mind very easily in such situations. Mind in the situations. So I request you all to follow the same procedure what I told you last week. What is the procedure? Look at the notes only when I record. So in the last class we saw seeing the hand and will of God in everything. That was the main heading last week. Under which we discussed all the points. Today we are discussing material and spiritual, how to balance them. It is a very big question mark. In material and spiritual circles, how to balance both the things? copy? Generally, devotees who travel in Krishna consciousness gradually, they have a period of time to get this question. Where is the land? How far should I work hard to be secure in society? There is a fear of security. You know, you must have studied in Maslow's triangle. There is food, there is clothing, there is shelter, and there is security, and then there is social status and all. So we are fearful of security. We want to be safe in society so that tomorrow we will not face any danger. Even Rupa Swami talks about the security. He says, whatever we earn, we can save some amount of money for the future emergency. So that our future Krishna consciousness will not be at a threat. See, the purpose of saving money for the future is not for enjoyment. We keep money in the future so that we should not arrive at any situation in our life where our Krishna consciousness will be at a great threat. That we have to run and hear and get and die to beg and survive. So we can save some money for the future. Emergency saving is certainly allowed even for the Vaishnavas. At the same time, one should also know to always depend on Krishna and be satisfied with what one is given by Krishna. Just like if you buy a car and you are supposed to go in your car from here to Delhi and you start decorating the car very nicely with garlands and cleaning it and washing it and you are spending all your time midway somewhere in Pimpri, you stop your car and do all these things. So the purpose of your car is not served. You are supposed to go from here to Delhi. That is your destination. But in between you got so much caught up in decorating the car that you forgot your goal. This is what happens to a person who becomes too much engrossed in his materialistic activities. Do not be surprised if it happens in the life of a devotee. And then even devotees in family life, sometimes there is a competition. I mean there is a misunderstanding. The wife may feel that you have to be more secure. Her husband is so much spiritual. He is all the time running to temple, all the time chanting Hare Krishna. He is not going out and earning enough for the family security. Whereas the husband may feel that the wife is too much engaged in service that she is not taking care of home. Certainly, it is important for us to take care of our material security and material needs of one's life. But at the same time, one should be sure that one is given enough of his energy and Krishna service. Sometimes they compare, family compare. So they see that Prabhu, he has got a car, he has got a new house. What about you? You are still in a rented house. So don't be too serious in Krishna consciousness. First you get your own house, you get a car, get the basic facilities of life. The basic, we don't know how much is, are the basic. After that you can become serious in spiritual life. After all, you are very young now. You are not so much grown up. So this is actually a devil's application. Yeah, devil speaking through the mind. This is trying to distract you from the real goal of life. So first people, they may sometimes think, let me just go to Dubai and earn a lot of money and come. Just within 2 years I'll earn and come, then I'll become a full-fledged devotee. They go for 2 years and they earn returns of 20 years. They don't come. And after 20 years when they come back, they are so slapped like a snail that they don't know what is Krishna consciousness, what is devotee. They become practically very flat. It happens to people. So, one should not hear the devilish mind, and husband and wife should cooperate with each other to help one another to go ahead in spiritual life. So, there is a wonderful poem by Chanakya Pandit. He says, Sanmanishte Varam Tyago. He says, Sanmanishte Varam Tyago. This body is temporary and it is shaped by. You cannot hold it. You cannot preserve this body. No matter how much endeavor you put in, you cannot preserve this body. Patati avashyam. Shatasandhi jarjaram. Patati avashyam means it is certainly destined to die. So something is given to you, just like somebody gives you 20 lakh rupees in hand. Now you have 20 lakhs. And he says, just keep holding it, I'll come after 5 days and I will take it away from you. So he has given you 20 lakhs in hand. He says, if you want to do something with this, you do. Otherwise, I will take it back after 5 days. What will you do? Will you not do something with it? In fact, you will want to do the best thing with it. This is not whatever best you can do with that. Same is applicable to all of our bodies. we are given a body, and especially what kind of body? Human body. And the natural nature tells you, now after so many lifetimes of giving you a human body, keep it with you, natural body, 80 years or whatever, then I will take away. So, and you can do whatever you want with it. It is up to you. Either you can just exist like a vegetable, not doing anything, completely dull, spend your entire life like that, or you can run here and there passionately, seeking the pleasures of the body, or if you are truly intelligent, you can utilize this body just like you put oil in a lamp and spend all the oil for burning the wick in the lamp for the service of God. Similarly, all the energies of the body can be completely utilized in God's service. So which is the best way of using the body? That is up to you. That is why he says, Sat Nimitte Varam Tyago. Use your body completely, use your body, your wealth, your mind, your intelligence, your energy, all that you have for the purpose of Sat. That is really true. Then you are really intelligent. Because you have done the best you can with this body. And the same body can help you as a ladder to return to the kingdom of God. After all, what is this body? Actually, the tree's body is useful to make a table like this. The human body, what is it? It is just fit for burning or to be eaten by vultures. So, it is not fit for anything, but such a body, it is discussed in the 11th canto, the Avadhut Brahman. However, this body is good for nothing in one sense. One can make the best use of bad bargain. So, one can use this body to transcend this world and enter the kingdom of God. So, one should be very intelligent to use the body properly. So they said, in material circle, whom should you look up to? If you really want to be a peaceful man or a peaceful woman, what should you do? In material plane, always look at people who are lower than you, who are less economically developed than you. So you can always be grateful to God. Look at the people living in the slum. Look at the people who don't get food for 3 continuous days. Look at the people who have a smaller house than you. Look at people who are struggling for their survival. Then you can be grateful for what God has given you. And you will go on and on with satisfaction. But on the other hand, in spiritual circle, what should you do? You should always look up to people who are more advanced than you. You should hanker for their association. Then you can advance in spiritual life. So if you do the opposite, what will happen? In material circle, you will look up to people who are very rich. And in spiritual circle, you look up to people who are very slack in their spiritual life. What will happen? You should spiritual pride and material discontent. Both of which are like poison. Spiritual pride is poison and material discontent is also poison. Ultimately, it is a hell. You cannot be peaceful. So, always look up to people who are higher. That is why in Varnashram Dharma, you see, as you go ahead in Varnashram Dharma, what happens? Do you know? Brahmacharis, then Grihastha, and after Grihastha, what happens? Vanaprastha, that means more detachment. And then? That's more detachment. So, it takes us to higher and higher platforms of detachment. So, look up to people who are more detached from the material world and who are more attached to Krishna. And see their dedication, see their surrender. Dedication can be measured by so many ways. You can see a person's dedication by whether he has gone for initiation, or whether a person is running a program in his house, or whether a person is actively participating in the temple satsang, or a person how many rounds is he chanting, or whether a person is actively preaching. So these are all many ways to see a person's seriousness in spiritual life. It is very easy to see a person's seriousness in spiritual life, just like any other business. A businessman who is flourishing in business, how do you assess? He is very enthusiastic, isn't it? He opens one center there, he opens one center there, he gets 2-3 telephones, and his office becomes bigger, and his activities become widened, he becomes very dynamic, and he gets more and more people. First he had just 2 people, 5 people, now he has 20 people, he puts some people here, some people there. So this is actually enthusiasm, more and more. In the same way in spiritual life also, one should be very enthusiastic and look after people who are higher than us. Not out of envy, but out of love and respect, so that we can advance like them. Then one's mind can be truly peaceful. So one should always remember this Trinadati Shinichana attitude. So the Trinadati Shinichana Tadarati Tavishina, if you are more humble than a blade of grass and covering than a tree. And along with that, if you do these two things, That is the material plane, look up to people who are below you, and spiritual plane, look up to people who are above you. Then you can take leaps and bounds in spiritual life. Do not aspire for worldly glory or recognition. This is one thing, it's a sure shot way of becoming restless, both in your body and in your mind. As long as we aspire for worldly glory and recognition, we are going to be very restless. You can see in the world, everyone is constantly thinking in the mind, what does he think about me? What does she think about me? Are all people knowing my greatness? How great am I? What all things can I accomplish in my life? Is everyone understanding and accepting my greatness? This is the unnecessary part that is constantly lurking in the mind of a conditioned soul. Always he is trying to prove his greatness. And he is always counting how many people are surrounding me, how many people are appreciating me. So because of this tendency, one's mind is constantly restless. And if somebody comes up to your level, you will become very disturbed. Maybe he will come and confuse. That's what happened with Duryodhana, is it not? When Duryodhana saw the Pandavas, especially Bhima, he was equal in match fighting with Duryodhana. And Duryodhana became very disturbed. He could not have a night's sleep. That's why most of Americans are taking sleeping pills. Because always they are competing. They can never be peaceful. But how can a devotee be peaceful? So you can understand that even if people glorify you or adore you, they are not actually glorifying you. They are actually glorifying what you possess. That's like if a very rich man has money in his pocket. As long as he is rich, people bow down to him. People respect him. When he comes, they stand up, they salute him. So the salute is actually given for the money. Like there was a very rich man, anybody who will fall at his feet, he will tell the person, okay, I will pass it. So he was doing it everywhere. Wherever he went, people will fall at his feet and he will say, I will pass it. Then, one of his friends was very surprised. Why did you say like this? Then he asked him, why do you say like that? Then he took him to his house and he opened his bureau. And the bureau was full of gold biscuits. He said, this is what people are respecting me for. That is, whenever they give me, offer me respect, I tell them I will pass it. So I pass it to this gold. He said, I don't take any respect for myself. He said, without this money, nobody is even going to look up to me. So he understood this. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, there's a very beautiful verse. It says, Nesvam tagam tiganika akalpam nipatam praja adhita vidya acharyam yattujo vatta dakshinam kadavita palam vriksham bhuktvasa atitayo vriham gaddam vrijata taranyam jaya bhuktvara tantriyam. This is actually spoken by a gopi, a very beautiful verse full of meaning. It says, Nesvam tagam tiganika, a prostitute will be glorifying a man with so many words and poetry as long as his pocket is full. Once his money is over, she will kick on his face and go to the next man. So he says, Nisam Sajanti Ganika, Akalpam Jipatim Praja. Similarly, the citizen respects a king and adores a king as long as he is competent to fulfill all their needs. As soon as a king is incompetent, the Praja immediately throw him away, overthrow him. Acharyam Adhita Vidya Acharyam. Similarly, the students who go to school to study, as soon as their education is over, they forget their teacher after that. I don't know how many of you remember their school teacher. They forgot them long ago. We never go to see them again. Adhita Vidya Acharyam. And Rishikesh Ratadakshina. Similarly, the priest who come to home to perform some puja on your tithi, on some tithi day, they come home. And they'll be sitting and talking to you, asking about your family, your children, everything. And looking when are you going to give them the dakshina. One dakshina is given. Even if they tell them, please sit for some more time. They will say, I have another appointment. I have to take my luna and run. Immediately I have to go to another place. They will not even wait for a minute. Refuge of Dakka Dakshina. As soon as they get their money, they will go away. Kadavita Param Riksham. Similarly, the bird, they will stay in a tree as long as there are fruits. When the fruits fall away, when the tree is divide of fruits, will the birds stay there? They won't. They will fly away. Kadavita Param Riksham. Bhuktvat Atithiyo Griham. Even the atithi who comes to our home, She may be talking nice things to her, as long as she serves them food. Once food is over, they will move. Their business is over. Go away. Bhutya Chatiti of the home. And he says, Daddam Riga Tatharanyam. Similarly, the deers stay in a forest as long as the forest is giving them nice eatables. The greenery is there. When the forest is set on fire, will the deers will stay there ever? They will not stay. Daddam Riga. So immediately they will run away from the forest. Similarly, your lover enjoys her, the paramour enjoys her lover, and once his business is over, he forgets her, he goes away. In this way, we can see that everyone is loved, is actually not loved. People think they are loved in this world. But they are loved for what? For what they possess. Otherwise, no one is interested in you in this world. A very harsh reality that I have to tell you. No one is interested in you in this world. There is only one person who is sitting by your side in your heart, who is truly interested in you. Who is? Paramatma, the Super Soul. He is performing a thankless task of running after you in all the bodies when you are wandering from one body to another body. You have never even looked at him, you have never even spoken with him, you have told him, mind your own business. And you are doing your own business in this world. You are doing so many activities in this world, you are not even turning to him. Still he is wandering after you, escorting you from one body to another. What was the example given some classes ago? Remember? Anybody? Just like a master takes a dog in the street. Sometimes the dog drags him to left corner, right corner. He wants to eat stool, sometimes a bone. All horrible, abominable things he wants to eat. And he is dragging here and there. The master is catching the rope, isn't it? Similarly, Paramatma is giving us a limited freedom and allowing us to do abominable things. Like the dog is eating all kinds of things. Similarly, Paramatma is escorting the Jivatma in this material world. So he is our only true friend, as Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita, Surdham Sarva Bhutana. Otherwise, other people you can very easily understand that nobody is interested in you. You should have some intelligence. People generally come to you only for getting something from you. Nowadays people are very straightforward. They say, what will I get out of this? Only then I will associate. People don't even know who is their neighbor in the same flat. And nowadays people don't even know the relatives' names. Nowadays. In those days are gone now. In the marriages when they meet, they have to tell them, this is your uncle who is living in United Kingdom, this is your aunt living in Australia. And you get to see them once in 10 years. So those relationships are all gone nowadays. So in this way, we can see that the worldly recognition which we get, it is going to be short-lived for some time, and one should not foolishly hanker for it. And even the others who are giving you recognition, they are mostly foolish people. They recognize you for some external thing that you have. They do not know what to appreciate and what not to appreciate. You must have heard the story of Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar. You heard? Once when he went to a party, he was invited. He went in a simple dress, Jyoti Kirpa, he went to attend. And the security man, he kicked him out. But when he went back and he wore coat, suit and everything, tie and everything, and he came and he very warmly welcomed him and took him inside. So what did he do, you know? He took off his dress and put it on the table. And he took the food and took dal, chapati, everything and gave it to the clothes. And the host was surprised. Why are you doing this? He said, I was not respected, only my dress was respected. That's what happens in this world. So, you can easily understand the worldly people respect you for something very superficial and external. They don't appreciate you, the soul. Only Krishna can appreciate. So, one should hanker for recognition from Krishna. Have a desire to be recognized by Krishna. And recognition from Krishna will not come very easily, and we cannot easily cheat him. See, worldly recognition you can very easily achieve. Sometimes you dress very smartly and people think you are a big man. But just like if you go to a doctor, you go to a hospital, you dress very smartly and you go and sit in his chair, then you look through the window and which car you have come. If it is a merchant bank, or if you are a very big man, you cannot pay me a big amount. So if you come in a scooter, then you'll ask you a smaller amount. So people look at what vehicle you come with, or how many people are surrounding you. So this is the way the worldly people assess you. But how does Krishna assess you? It is not very easy to be recognized by Krishna. To become recognized by Krishna, one has to have a genuine devotion at heart. All our makeshift business is of no use with Krishna. In this world, everyone is doing the drama to pose himself as the greatest hero or the greatest heroine. You can see. Everyone is trying to make a show, how great am I? And if they find that nobody is still respecting me, at least they go to the cinema actors or cinema actresses and try to take a photograph with them by putting their hands on their shoulder and then show the photo to other people, see, at least I am with a big man, please respect me now. This is what people are doing in this world. But Nayakanam Shiroratnam, Devakasami says, amongst all the heroes, who is the greatest hero? Krishnas Bhagavan Swayam. He says, Nayakanam Shiroratnam, Krishnas Bhagavan Swayam. Amongst all the heroes, the greatest hero is Krishna. So, try to be recognized by Krishna. Yesterday one lady came to the temple. She was taking permission from me whether she can take a photograph of Kundalini. I suggested her that you can get so many nice photos in our bookstore. Why don't you take it from there? She said, no, I want to take a photograph along with Radha Kundalini. She said, I was so surprised. Very few people have a desire to take photo along with Radha and Krishna. Most of them go to cinema actors and actresses. They do not know the greatest hero. So, we should want to be recognized by Krishna only, not by anybody else. And when Krishna recognizes you, you don't have to be recognized by anybody. You don't have to worry. Because the ultimate gati, the resting place, is the spiritual world. And Krishna is the owner of the spiritual world. He is the enjoyer, protector, controller. So if you are recognized by him, then whether others recognize you or not, you don't have to worry. Is it not? So we study the life of great souls like Kolavacha Sridhar. Because Kolavacha Sridhar was such a great devotee of the Lord, but he was not recognized by anybody. Nobody knew him. So Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was at his same age, he was called as Nimai Pandit. And Nimai Pandit used to look so charming. His face used to look like a beautiful moon. His eyes would be like lotus petals. And his curly hair would be so attractive. Anybody who would look at Nimai Pandit will become captivated by his beauty. And Nimai Pandit would go to his shop. And Kola Chishira was Kola Gacha, Gacha means seller. Kola means Kela. Kola is actually a banana seller of some of the banana leaves. So he would go to his shop and he would bargain with him. And at that time in Bengal, practically in every house there were banana trees. And they will come to buy banana leaves. It was so cheap. Nobody would go to market to buy banana leaves. And whatever little money he would make, how much he would use for Ganga Puja, and only half he would keep for himself. And he had a very small house which had roofs. And there were so many holes in the roofs of his house. So he said the clothes that he wore had greater number of holes than the holes in the roof. That was the kind of dress he used to wear. So he was a very, very politic and devoted man. And Nimai would go to his shop and buy a banana leaf and he would argue with him to give me at a lower price, you are trying to cheat me. So there was a competition, transcendental competition between the two. And this would go on and on. Somehow, Kolavacha Sridhar was very, very attracted to Nimai Pandit. And all day and all night he would be chanting constantly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And it would be heard by all the people in the surroundings. And people in the night, they would become so disturbed by his chanting that they would yell at him, they would howl at him, they would say, this is not a cry of love, this is a cry of hunger. Take these vegetables, they would throw vegetables from his window. They would sometimes take a rotten tomato, rotten potatoes and they would throw it through his window. And he never bothered. He continued crying Hare Krishna throughout day and night like this. And one day Nimai Pandit had come and he found a beautiful pumpkin on the top of his roof. And he said, Kola Chishira, today not only am I going to take your banana leaf, I also want that pumpkin. And I'm not going to pay you anything for that. So, and Kola Chishira said, no problem. I think probably I might have become attached to this pumpkin, but Krishna is taking it away from me. Okay, take this, and give it to him immediately. So in this way, they used to have a very transcendental relationship. One day, Nimai Pandit told him that, Kolavacha Sridhar, you are posing like a pietistican yoga, but I know that you have got a great hidden treasure in your heart. That I will reveal to the entire world in future. Kolavacha said, what treasure I have? My house doesn't even have a door. You can go and see inside. What is there inside? So, Nimai Pandit went away, but at a later time, when there was Nama Sankirtan or the holy name and all the Vaishnavas were prominently chanting the name of Sundara Pani through the house of Kolakushila. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is under the path of the house of Pani, so many bones, so many sick bones, which were there of brass, were walking the Kolakushila. So the people, and Kamantar, and all the so values is devotees. And the when there was Mahaprakalpa and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and not who Kolakushila, and how we took that land, and in whichever house that Kamara Kalina, that is called it. So that continuing to Mahaprabhu, when we heard Mahaprabhu, we immediately felt consciousness. In the three carrying the part and in front of the Mahaprabhu, and was very good benediction. And there was not anything. I simply want to see after Mahaprabhu coming to mind, Varna, me and Janet, and constantly having the company with me, there and there. So you see, now, such devotees are in series can learn to fight for some of that. So that is really, how do you learn to do that now? Anyway, if they are to come to my Bhakrishan, if you said the one with that, if you said some totalizing such a, the one that knows the Bhakrishan. Because they were sometimes mistaken for a wrong thing. Certainly some don't think who is now in the, who is doing, who can be very well misunderstood by people. And so, you know, so many people are prosecuted, Hargav Thakur was prosecuted, is it not? So many great devotees are in the world. So even if you are not recognized by Ranga, if you are recognized by Krishna, then your life is a great success. So one should desire for becoming recognized by Krishna. Do not multiply your wants and then feel like a beggar. Reduce the rati. This is a very point. This has strong connection to your material development or economic development. You can see, especially in Kali Yuga now, there is so much material greed. People are so greedy to acquire more and more and more and more. There is no end. Material greed and peace of mind are incompatible. You have to make your choice. You can't do anything. Either of the two you have to choose. If you want peace of mind, you cannot be greedy for material things. Many people now are working in companies and working hard. They are doing company job also. They are having a business in the evening. And they are trying to stretch themselves for 16 hours a day. So they are requesting us to come for some mind control seminar. Do you think it will be possible? So any amount of seminars you cannot be held as long as you are greedy for material things. So we should learn to make our life simple. Why should we make our life simple? Because the less the things you possess, less is the maintenance, is it not? The more things you possess, the maintenance also becomes more. For example, if you think, let me become more comfortable, and you get many things, like you get a fridge, you get a television, you get a mobile, you get a computer along with an internet facility, and you get all the different things like that, now you think you are very comfortable. So how much of your energy is trapped in maintaining all these things? Look at that. When one thing goes wrong, then you depend more and more on the internet, at one point if it crashes, you have to crash, isn't it? So many of your things become upset, which have been using internet. The same is true for a man who has been using mobile. If you have been using ordinary phone, it may be all right, but if you have been using mobile, and then now you are told that you have to use ordinary phone. How do you say? That means the more you live lavishly, that much you become a servant of all these things. So you should learn to reduce your wants. Just like a simple example, a child. If the parents have raised a child in a very lavish fashion, that they give, you know, 10 shoes to the child and 50 dresses to the child. And then any type of chocolate you can buy from the market whenever you go. And every day they'll give you a pocket money of 100 rupees. And you can do whatever you want with the money. So if this child has been living that, but for them in life like that, what will happen to him in the future? Tomorrow something happens to your family and child has to live in a very poverty situation. He would prefer committing suicide rather than living in poverty, is it not? That means the more you are given, the more you become bound by such facilities. Even Indra, the same thing happened to a great Indra, the king of the Indra, Indra. Every year he was given Indra Puja, and he was very pleased by the Indra Puja. And after some years he started thinking, I deserve this Indra Puja, that Vidurasi is doing for me every year. And he thought it has to come to me utterly. And one year Krishna told Vidurasi, now Indra is very proud, so don't offer Indra. Rather, you offer it to Govardhan. And then Indra didn't get what happened to him. Just what happened to him. He forgot all the methods of mind control. His mind went out of control. Because he had become bound by such luxury. That is why it is very much possible, if you are sincere, to make a clear-cut demarcation between luxury and necessity. What is your necessity? What is your luxury? Every one of us has to sit and find out, identify. And we should only accept things which are our necessity. Do not accept luxuries. So it becomes a big burden on you. Just like if you donate a big elephant to a brahmana, he will be very happy. He will sit in the elephant and go for some distance. And then the elephant will demand him, "My dear brahmana, give me food now." Why will you get food for the elephant? How can you maintain it? It becomes too much. Same thing is happening with the advancement of science and technology today. People are increasing their facilities more and more and more. But they are becoming more and more bound. So the maya, material energy, is so intelligent and powerful that she will cheat you, thinking that you have a lot of luxurious things around you, but she will sit on your head and ultimately she will ruin your life. It is very important for devotees especially. If devotees increase the luxuries more and more, so much of their energy is completely sapped. In maintaining the facility, what happens to them? Their Krishna consciousness is greatly affected. One time, my sadhu was climbing up a mountain on a hot sunny day. So he was thinking, "Oh, how can I climb up the mountain? The altitude is so high." So he was singing a song. "Hey Ram, go to Jilade." Other was singing a song. "Hey Ram, go to Jilade." So he was singing like this. He was playfully singing. "Oh Lord Ram, please give me a gaudi so that I can ride on it and happily climb up the mountain. It is so difficult for me." And Lord Rama immediately fulfilled his desire. Somebody came on the opposite side and immediately donated a gaudi to him. Take this horse. And he was surprised, "Oh, Lord has fulfilled my desire. So nice." Now he climbed on the horse and he was riding very happily, going up the mountain. After some distance, the horse stopped. And he was surprised what happened. In the garden from the house. And the house begot the offspring. What do you call it? Pony? Pony. Begot the house. Pony. Small house. Then the mother house was not able to move ahead. So he didn't know what to do. He was trying to pull, "Please come, please come." He sat on it and it was not budging an inch. He didn't know what to do. Then he got an idea. "I think because of the pony, mother house is not going." So he was trying to pull the pony, but pony was too small to walk. So he took the pony and kept it on his shoulder. And then when he walked, then the mother also followed. Then he said, "Oh, how intelligent am I? Now I made you move from your place." But then after some distance he realized, "Actually I am not very intelligent. Although I have made the horse move, but I am carrying one more horse on my shoulder." This is the way material nature works. Sometimes you think, "I have this facility, I have that facility." You don't know who am I and I am so great. Ultimately you become bound by this facility. So this is a very, very simple life. As simple as possible. And another thing that is the trouble caused by maintaining too many things is it gives pain. Possession gives pain. How can possession give pain? Actually possession gives two kinds of pain. One is the external maintenance of the things gives one kind of thing, which is far, far easier to tolerate than the impression and pain that it causes in the mind. For example, if you own a land, or if you own a shop, or if you own a flat, if you own a car, if you own such things, you can very easily see that your mind is constantly disturbed by the thought of that thing. So how will I develop that? Or how will I maintain that? How will I preserve that? You know, all these questions come in your mind. Not only that, these are all thoughts of fear, but at the same time there are also thoughts of pride that come in your mind. You may also think, "Because I am possessing this, people are respecting me. I'll do abhijanavanasmi. Kon yoshi sadrishomaya." You will think, "I am surrounded by aristocratic relatives and friends, and all are respecting me because I am such a big man. And kaha anya asti sadrishamaya? Who is that equal to me in this world?" So you have feeling like that. Just imagine how many kinds of troubles come when we possess things. Actually, we cannot possess anything in this world because we come into this world for a brief period of time and we go away. Like in the night, we sleep for 6 or 8 hours. It's a 6 hours dream we get. Similarly, life is a 50 or 20 years dream. It's a very brief dream. Okay. Although it looks like a long period for us. And during this period, we are given certain things to keep under your custody. God gives you some land or property or wealth or gold or things like that. And then in front of your eyes, it will be taken away. You cannot do anything. All those things will be taken away. And that you have to leave and go. But in the mind, we have a strong feeling that these things belong to me. Do you know why people want to acquire more and more wealth? Do you think they are going to really enjoy it? Why? Why does a person want to spend a lot of money and put in the Swiss bank? Although he knows that I am not going to enjoy it. What does he get by that? Do you know? Yes, correct. He thinks he'll be more respected. He thinks that acquiring more has become a bigger man or a greater man. That is actually only in the mind. It is only satisfaction in the mind. And although you think there is satisfaction, there is greater anxiety in the mind than that minuscule satisfaction. The satisfaction is a very minuscule satisfaction. But the fear of preserving that money, the pride that comes, all these things, that only stretches your mind. You cannot be a peaceful man. So, one should learn to have little and to the peaceful life. Once upon a time there was a sadhu who was sitting under a tree and chanting peacefully Hare Krishna. He was smiling and very happy. So one thing was passing by. So what are you going to do by that? Either I learn a lot of wealth, but after learning a lot of wealth, what do you do? Then I will make my son, raise my son, and I will train him in everything. I will hand over all this wealth to him. In this way, I can have a bigger kingdom. And then what will you do? And then this way I will rule the kingdom for several years. And then what will you do? Then after many years of serving, then I will take retirement. And then what will you do? Then I will go to the holy place and I will be peacefully chanting the holy name. Because that's what I am doing now. But why should I take so much trouble like what you are taking now in order to do that? I am doing it now only. So in this way we can see people are unnaturally entangling themselves more and more in materialistic ways of life only for increasing their own name and fame. That's the only purpose. Otherwise you have no business in this world other than becoming Krishna conscious, other than making way to return to the kingdom of God. You have nothing else to do in this world. That's your only business in this world. Because you are told, you are devotees of Krishna, you have come to a wrong place. You are children of darkness because of the dawn after the dark night. There is always a rising of the sun after the dark night. So although we are living in the dark night, the sun will rise only when we work hard in spiritual life to return back to the kingdom of God. So one should not forget the goal and get caught up in and decorating the dead body. Gopal often used to say, decorating the dead body. Modern civilization is a civilization of decorating the dead body. Like a man when he is alive, nobody was giving him a single penny or even a morsel of food. But when he dies, distant relatives will come from various places just to decorate his body very nicely. And so many things they do. They put signs, they put so many things on his body. Especially in America, they dress the person very nicely. They put a cap, they put shoes, they put tie, coat and everything and make it look attractive. What is the use of decorating such a dead body? Similarly, materialistic way of life is only decorating a dead body. That's all. And for devotees, it is not considered decoration of dead body because devotees also maintain their body for the sake of serving Krishna. Then it is justified. So, we should not multiply our wants and feel like a beggar. Reduce contact with material activities to the minimum. This is very important for people working outside in companies. We are coming in contact with material energy so much that our mind becomes absorbed like a sponge that is put in the water. When you put a sponge in the water, how much water it absorbs? It will be really very difficult for a man working in the outside world to remain Krishna conscious always. That is why one sadhana in the morning should be very powerful. One should chant the same round to Varaksha mantra in the morning and one should be Mangalarati. And if you have deities at home, you can worship them, you can bathe them, you can rest them, you can offer bhoga to them, and you can read Srimad Bhagavatam with the family. And then all these activities, the cumulative effect of that can put a bulletproof covering over your body, so that when you are fully charged, you go out to the company, and anybody comes near you, they touch you, they can feel the electric current. Everyone touches you, Krishna, Krishna, you can hear Krishna in your body. Every room of your body will be chanting Krishna, because of your charging in the morning. So bad people will not even come near you, and innocent people will come and derive some Krishna consciousness benefit from you. That's why charging in the morning. On the other hand, if you keep on morning program very slack, if you are thinking, let me chant 2 rounds in the morning and 14 rounds in the late night, some people do that. So what happens, in the morning you are very weak and company you go, you will be really kick like a football in the company. You will become a laughing stock in the company. People will ask so many questions, they will ridicule you, they will mock at you, you will feel so puny and you cannot even speak anything, and you will be so much afraid of telling people that you are a devotee, you will hide your kantimala inside. You have to do so many things. So this way, you can be very strong. And when you come back in the night, all day, so much material association, it is like a great heaviness in the head. You come back home, if you are a doctor in here, and you sit with the prasadam plate, you see a monitor in front of you. So instead of taking the prasadam, you are doing like this and prasadam. So you practically go crazy like that. So whole day of so much absorption in material energy, and then to chant Hare Krishna, it's only a lip service. That's all. You are simply chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, all your mind is in the company. What will catch me tomorrow? I don't know what to do. So much fear you have. So one should make one's morning program very strong. So you should reduce your material activities to the minimum. How can you reduce? You have to increase your spiritual activities. Ecstatic are those devotees who are giving all the time to Krishna in the morning and evening. You will be thinking that this person is going too much to temple and there is too much preaching. I think it is not so good because you have to take care of family also. But one who is engaging in lots of his morning and evening, somehow or other everything is going on peacefully in his life. So arrangement of the last. He is preaching. You will see the most busiest of devotees, they are the most blessed and they are the happiest people. It's a great paradox. They are stressed the most and they are the most happiest. But those who think, I don't want to stress myself more, let me take care of my body and my family a little bit. So they want to not be so much stressed in spiritual life. But then they are the most disturbed in their mind. So they are stressed in the mind instead of stressed for services for Krishna. So it's better to volunteer ourselves to be stressed in Krishna service and feel ecstatic than to be stressed in our mind and be brooding over it. Ambarish was a very intelligent king. He engaged all his senses in Krishna service. He engaged his mind in the lotus feet of Krishna. He engaged his eyes in seeing the beautiful deity of Krishna. He engaged his mouth in speaking about Krishna. He engaged his hands in cleaning the temple of Krishna. So in this way, the more you do, the mind has a nature to become absorbed in that activity. Really see this. The mind has a nature to dwell on something for a period of time and become absorbed in it. As you told me, the mind is neutral, and whichever association you give the mind takes it. If you give good association, you will take good association. If you give him bad association, it will give bad. So we have to perform certain activities, like when you are going in the road, don't look at the nasty posters. Because by seeing them, like Ajamila became disturbed, you can also become disturbed. So learn to train your eyes to see the beautiful form of Krishna. Similarly, train all your senses in the same way. And try to give maximum time for Krishna service, morning and evening, as much as you can. And keep your job very simple, so that it will give you sufficient time for your spiritual duties. Then by reducing our contact with material activities, that much we will see that our mind becomes spiritualized. You can also try to go inward on delivering Ekadashi and special days. You can spend more time in chanting and reading. Like some Baba devotees that come to Pune, just taking off 15 days. They took off. I asked them, they said they have come to Pune only to do Shravanam. They just morning to night, sitting with Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, they are reading. Hundreds and hundreds of pages they gulped down. Because they say, you don't get any time. Bombay life is so hectic. In a year, you want to take out at least 15, 20 days to completely absorb in the Shastra. So in this day, every one of us can try once in a month, at least 1 or 2 days, to fully concentrate and study. In this way, we should try to absorb more in spiritual activity. Actually, deity worship is considered to do one activity which is very absorbing for grahastha devotees. It is very strongly recommended in the sutra that every grahastha devotee should gradually raise themselves to the standard of worshipping deity of their house. Because deity worship is not fun. You have to do so many things. You have to bathe the deities, you have to dress the deities, you have to cook bhoga for the deities, and you have to clean the altar, and you have to stitch dresses for the deities. So husband and wife will be running here and there to arrange things for the deity. And when you advance in deity worship, then you will want to invite devotees to your home, then you will want to conduct programs, and the deities will offer you more and more service. The more you serve nicely, the more they will offer you service. So that is why there are many ways devised by Lord Chaitanya and his followers how we can absorb our mind more and more in spiritual activities. And you can see, if you serve the deities like that in the morning, even in the daytime you can remember the deities. If you wake up early morning and you look at the beautiful deities in the morning and you sing in contemplation, even in the daytime you can remember. But all the karma materialistic people, what they do, in the morning they open the newspaper and what do they see that? Something you saw and so was murdered here, so and so was this, that, so many horrible news. As devotees, at least we are safe from that. The first impression is the first impression. Whatever impression you get in the morning, that actually lasts in your mind throughout the day. So those of us who are not waking up in the morning, we can try to cultivate the habit of sleeping little early. Instead of 12 o'clock, you make it 11, and try to wake up at 5 instead of waking up at 7. So in this way, we can try to wake up early and give more time to Krishna. Instead of trying to change the environment, change yourself for better. If you try to change the environment around you, 99.99% you will fail. That is why they said, change you. What does it mean actually is, everyone in this world has a nature to blame another person for something wrong that has happened in his life. Or many times we mourn that this should not be like this, why did this happen like this, that should not have happened, we mourn. Or when the mourning goes to a higher stage, you start wailing, start crying loudly. Whoever comes close to us, they get a big loud cry. Nobody likes a person who keeps crying all the time. Do you think anybody will like you if you keep all the time grumbling and mourning and grudging? Nobody will like us. So this is called as a BMW mode. BMW. BMW means blaming, mourning and wailing. So blaming, mourning, wailing mode, you have to give up this mode while working. When something wrong happens, immediately people blame others. They show hand to others. When something nice happens, they show hand to themselves. Like that. So, always you have a nature to blame the surroundings. If only my surroundings were better, then I would have been a great king. I would have been a great hero. If only, why should you talk about ifs and buts? There is no question of truth. Your surroundings are in a particular way, and you have to learn to live with it. The whole world is trying to set the world right, somehow or other. One time Prabhupada was saying, some sparrows were making a nest in the temple, and devotees were removing the nest. Again the sparrows came and made a nest. Again devotees removed it. Again the sparrows came. Several times they were coming and trying to make, and Prabhupada laughed at them and said, this is the way the sentient creatures are working hard to set right the situation in the world. Because body is such a body, you try to set right one thing, something else goes wrong in the body. When you get a fracture, you set it right. When you get a headache, when you take anything, when you get stomach ache or indigestion, you set it right. When you get a brain tumor, you set it right. When you have kidney failure. So different things go wrong in your body at different times. That is why Kurukshetra is saying, Idam shariram parinama peshalam patati avashyam satasam vijarjaram Kimmajadim prachatimudadharmate niramayam krishna rasayanam tibat. He's telling Idam shariram parinama peshalam. This body is always transforming, time to time. Right from childhood, how much of a phases of change. Parinama peshalam. So gradually time gets twisted and turned and feet fall away and ears become deaf and hair becomes grey and white and eyes sink inside and the bones protrude outside and one becomes looking, one looks like a monkey, one looks very ugly, and one grows, and body becomes weak. Poor people, they can't even hold the stick properly in their hands. It is trembling. Imagine the same body, which is forming so many enjoyments, when you grow old, you don't even stand properly or sit properly. So, trying to separate the body properly, or trying to separate your individual situation, I'm saying that after that I will practice spiritual life. It is not possible. It's like saying, I want to take a dip in the ocean and take a bath, but let me wait for the waves to stop. Will you ever stop? You are always going to come. Like the waves are coming, you are going to have several troubles in life, and you have to advance in Krishna consciousness along with those troubles. You have to go against the current, and you have to work very hard. Don't try to change your environment. Don't blame them also. Just go along in your life, learning to live with that situation. Anybody who learns to tolerate, gradually one day, gaining more inner willpower and strength and determination. One who becomes mature to tolerate such environment and live with it, then one can grow. But one who is struggling here and there to settle the situation and he thinks, let me set things right and then make a beginning. This also means another thing. Sometimes you have a tendency to make plans. And you get caught up in the plan making business so much that you don't execute even one plan. Sometimes you make plans for several months, how to do this, how to do that, and you keep saying that you never do anything. That's just a condemn. So you make plans, a small plan, and immediately start executing in spiritual life. Like if you say, now I am planning how I am going to read Bhagavatam. Whether I should read chapter to chapter, or I should read sections of Bhagavatam, I will do this, you write down this, write down that. Ultimately you never read it for 5 years. You see, 5 years have passed away. You have not read one page also. So we shouldn't get caught up in such things. And try to keep going ahead, living in such a situation. You must have goals to reach and ideas to strive for. This is very important. In spiritual life, some people feel slack. Why? Because sometimes they feel empty. They don't know what to do. But when you wake up in the morning, what comes to your mind? Every morning when you wake up. Things to do for the day. So, a person who really is a hard-working devotee, while going in the night, he makes plans for the next day. Tomorrow I will do this, in the coming week. For a devotee, he will set goals for the next day, next week, next month, next year, and the next few years. They have even a future vision, what is to be done in the next 10 years. So when you have ideas to strive for, and you have goals to, you achieve it. Things are there. There are ideas to strive and goals to reach. They are not the same actually. Goals to reach means you want to accomplish certain things in your spiritual life in the coming few years. And you want to reach a certain ideal. Like there are so many advanced devotees, and they are our role model for us in our spiritual life. I want to become like this. I want to become pure-hearted. I want to become renowned. I want to become sense-controlled. I want to become truly learned. So we can have many such aspirations. So we have some ideas to strive for. So naturally, when you have the ideas, what do? In order to achieve those ideas, you will work towards it. The moment you get time, you want this. If you say a devotee is abhyasta kalatvam, Rupa Goswami says. He doesn't waste one moment also. How can you save your time? There are so many techniques are. Like you can have a card in which you write some sloka and keep some paper cards with you. When you are standing in a bus stop, you can take out one card and be seeing that. Otherwise, what will happen? Your eyes will look at some wrong place, which is not good for you. Better you look at the card. And you go through the verse and you can memorize some verse. And you can relish it. Relish the Bhagavatam. Wonderfully. And this way, it will enhance your teaching. So, devotee should save his time. I see sometimes they go to Pune to Bombay, people are just sitting in the train. They are not doing anything. Not speaking, not doing anything. Just sitting, vegetating, you can say. I feel very sorry for them. I think they can give their time to us. We have so many things to do. So, a devotee should not waste his time. Every moment we should use. In fact, what we are trying to do is in the morning, how to make our material activities quicker, we are thinking. Because his body is such a horrible body that you have to shave up, you have to shave up head, you have to shave up mush, you have to shave up beard, you have to cut your nails, you have to go to the bathroom, you have to take bath, you have to wash your clothes. You have to eat your food 3 times a day. The body's maintenance itself is like a big company running. Running a big industry. You have to run this body. So, it's a horrible body. So, we have to find out ways and means to make this material activity strict and spend more time for Krishna. Salad Maharaj, it is written in Sanskrit, he didn't even know how these mental activities are taking place in his body. He was going to absorb them Krishna consciousness. So we should have ideas to strive for. And we should have set goals in our spiritual life. We should have set goals. Every one of us, whether we are brahmacharis or grihasthas, we should have set goals. In the coming years, I want to come to Sixteen Rounds in a certain time, when I want to take initiation, when I want to bring deities in my home, when I want to arrange a program in my house, I want to go for yatras and learn about the holy places. Now I want to help the preachers, and now I also want to become a preacher and preach. Or I will try to propagate this movement all over Pune. So in this way we should have some set goals. Everyone, Mataji, Prabhuji, children, everyone according to their age and material, they can set their goals. All our goals are not the same. We all can set our goals. Then our spiritual life becomes very enthusiastic. And mind becomes naturally engaged. Another man's brain is a, another man's mind is a, very workshop. Sometimes, if you don't have to, anything, why should I attack your person like that? Better sleep till 12 o'clock. You know, your mind will tell you, because you have nothing to accomplish in life. So we should have so many goals. Actually, the demand should be more than the supply from your body. You have so much demand that you don't know how to reach up to the mark. So much need should be done. So much engagement should be done. I mean, Pune, you don't have to worry. We have Bhakta Prabhupada School, and in Bhakta Prabhupada School, we have so much requirement in Iskcon Youth Forum and congregation teaching. Devotees are actually forming and working hard. And there are many senior devotees working hard. Others are always welcome to come to them, join them, work very hard, more and more, and take a share of that burden. So the example is given that the great Maharati, when he is going ahead in the battle field, there are so many others who are elephant soldiers, there are foot soldiers, there are heart soldiers, there are charities. So there is Abhirati, there is Maharati, there are many people like that. So there are many great devotees ahead of us, and if you are not like them, we should try to set them as our, keep them as our goal in our life. I also want to become serious. Go and assist them and work hard with them. Then we can also progress very nicely. Do not evade responsibility, also do not purchase trouble. If you think, see, that person is not working so hard, why should I? He is not, she is not doing so much, why should I? So this tendency creeps in the mind sometimes. And you try to evade a given responsibility. But what will happen to you, do you know? Your mind will trouble you. You say, oh, you are escaping from service, you are given this task to do, and you are saying you have no time. In the mind you will start to be like anything, and you avoid the responsibility. You have this facility, you have that facility, you can easily do this, and you are saying no, so you will not get the mercy of Krishna, mind will tell you. And sometimes what we do, instead of doing the service given to us, we try to compare ourselves with other devotees. He or she is doing so much, I will do little extra than him or her, so that people will respect me more. So this is called as taking more responsibility on our egoistic initiative. Sometimes even in companies it happens. Sometimes people, in order to get promotion, they take so much extra load that they practically go crazy. So they have to compete with others. You think so much I will do. And companies also motivate them very much. You make 100 people work like a donkey and give only promotion to one man. So this is just to motivate them. And they have seminars to motivate them to work more harder. Like that. So in material life always, success is measured by comparing oneself with another person. But in spiritual life, it's not like that. Somebody can be very, very advanced, and another person can also be equally advanced. In spiritual world, there are hundreds and thousands and billions of superlatives. But in material circle, there may be only one superlative. If you are good, that are best. And there cannot be two best in material world. But in spiritual life, there can be hundreds and thousands of best. That is why the devotees never has envy. Like all the gopis are dancing with Krishna, but none of them are envious of the another. Gopis never say, I want to dance with Krishna alone. Because in spiritual world, everyone comes together to serve Krishna. So you don't have to compete with anybody. Take whatever responsibility is given to you and you fulfill it. So the meaning of not purchasing trouble. Purchasing trouble means taking extra load. This is applicable even to your material life. In material life also, if you take up extra responsibility to show how great you are, then you are purchasing trouble. Last point, do not try to extract enjoyment from this world. This point has been time and time again discussed in so many lectures, and this is one of the most fundamental points I've ever moment. So trying to extract enjoyment from this world is exactly like trying to extract nectar from the mouth of a cobra. Can you? Will you get nectar from the mouth of a cobra? You are serpent, you will only get poison. You will be cheated. You will only get poison. In the same way, the more we try to extract enjoyment from this world, that much we will suffer. Basically, as we learned earlier also in Krishna, the last verse, Bhakta Ram Yajnata Prasam, one should always remember this fact that Krishna is the enjoyer. I am only a cooperator. Try to memorize this again and again in the heart. Krishna is the enjoyer, I am only a cooperator. I am supposed to cooperate with Krishna in his enjoyment. I am servant of Krishna. So one should always remember this. And his enjoyment mentality, you don't have to speak a lot about it. It is so easy to understand. It can come at the grass level, it can come at the subtle level in the mind, and one can very easily see that. Every one of us have a tendency to dominate others and try to exploit them and enjoy them for our own benefit. This tendency is actually a dominant tendency, a Ravana tendency. And Hanuman tendency is always to use everything in God's service. So even in devotee circle, we should always be conscious that we are remaining in the mood of a servant. So even Guru considers his disciples not as his servants. He doesn't exploit them. He feels that all my disciples are put under my custody by my spiritual master. So my Guru has given me these people, so it is my duty to serve them by training them. You know, your husband says, my wife, my children, and all dependents who are put under me, who are they? They are all actually devotees of Krishna. They are put under my custody so that I may actually protect them, take care of them, and make them Krishna conscious, and respect them to spiritual world. This is the mode of a husband. So one never thinks, I am the king of the house, and everyone is my subject, and I will boss over everyone, with my wife and my children, and I am the king, and nobody can control me. That kind of tendency will create a big cleavage in the family between husband, wife, and everyone. So if one is remaining in the mode of a servant, always, and one gives up his enjoyment mentality, then one can very, very be peaceful in mind. It's only such a topic of material and spiritual balancing down. He's asking why can't Krishna force us to come back to him. So if you say force, there is no question of love. Can love be enforced on somebody? As soon as you say love, love implies freedom. So if a girl was a boy and boy was a girl, both of them love, there is mutual love, then it can be a good relationship. Otherwise, you know, a boy cannot take a second teacher, love learning. It's impossible. Love cannot be enforced. So Krishna will never force us love. We are given as independence, do whatever we want. The reason is, we want better vision by materialistic people. That is our only problem. Like sometimes in a woman, even if they are poor, they will buy necklace in the neighbor, and they put the necklace and stand in the middle of the marriage wall. Do you think? So we can have this necklace. So show the next other. So they actually borrow from the neighbor. But they want to show that I am very rich. Yeah, woman. Sometimes when nowadays if you see in the toy shops, no, they are selling a small box, looks like a mobile phone. You see that? If you can carry it, just to show me the show, then carry my mobile. Very easy to understand. So if you want anything in the world that you show, then you're going to be gone. That's why I was telling you, materiality and peace of mind are incompatible. Let me take that. If you are with devotees and you want to recognize the system, then you will never have to suffer. You will never bother about the people. So the world say whatever they want, then they will do whatever they want. And if you need to follow, and if you are single in a township, you may have difficulty. But in a city like Pune, you are fine, you are good. So suppose you are
help you and assist you. So it's very easy to come out of such a network. Somebody is asking me, in my material sense, I have to tell me what can I do. So make spiritual friends. There are so many spiritual friends. Hundreds of devotees are coming to the feet of Krishna. Make friends with them.
Yeah.
So, when it comes to material possessions, we understand that we see over 5 years, it can come as a positive and comfortable future. Yeah. Now, Mataji is saying that over a period of years, we see that if we have some material possessions, then we can become more fixed up in spiritual life. Even for a good spiritual life, we need some material possessions. Certainly, good point. I never said that we don't want material security. For example, if you are in a temporary job and by studying one course for say 1 or 2 years, you can get a permanent job. And if they tell you, no, now you have to surrender. Don't worry, right now you can be in a temporary job. Can you be like that? Very difficult. Because temporary means always the fear is there, anytime I will be kicked out. So you want a permanent job. So even a devotee can work to get a permanent job. But the point which I was trying to make was, depending on one's judgment, one can possess things. Like if you see Brahma Raj, first he had impurity in his heart. So Lord didn't give him immunity. But as he grew up in maturity, when he became completely purified, then he handed him over the Dhruva Loka, which was even greater than Brahma Loka. And then he was that point, he never even wanted to enjoy it. So Krishna did it automatically. Similarly, if a devotee, by arrangement of Krishna, he is becoming more wealthy, he doesn't have to keep aside all the money saying that I don't want to possess anything. He doesn't have to do that. He can buy a house, he can have cars. But one has to be very careful that one is very detached. Very important. So one is becoming attached to these things, then better. Like it is that instead of owning a car, better you hire a taxi. Instead of owning a house, better you own a rented house. If you own a house, then there is a maintenance problem, then all your energy goes into that. If you own a rented house, you cannot sit on your place. Easy. So let's be possessing this world. It's like taking several burdens on our back while climbing on a mountain. The more we possess, as a total possession leads to many things. It leads to pride, it leads to hankering, it leads to fear and anxiety, and possession also leads to maintenance problems. Many, many things are there. So as far as possible, one should possess less. But if one is confident that by possessing things, my Krishna consciousness is not affected, then one can possess. For example, it was always a paradox for people. If you see, if you are going higher and higher, it is very dangerous for you. The higher you go, the harder you fall. You heard this? Then does it mean that we should not become department head, or become a president of a temple, or become a GDC, or become a sannyasi, or become a guru? Should we become or say that if you go higher, you fall, and better remain at the nearby you have to always, but I will not make any advancement in spiritual life? Can you say like that? You can't say, you have to advance. But you have to become more and more careful. Similarly, if Krishna is giving you everything, like Siddha Mahavitra was given by Krishna so much. He was given a beautiful bungalow, he was given a nice facility. He didn't reject it. He used it in Krishna's service. Similarly, by will of providence, if you are arranged a good house and a facility, then one can use it to put in Krishna's service. But if one is working lifelong for getting a house, and it is hampering his spiritual life, then it is not justified. Right? Yeah. Last question?
Why not one should get Krishna if he comes from others?
Nayakanam Shiro Ratnam. Krishna is the real hero who deserves to be recognized by every living entity, worshipped and adored. And our desire for recognition actually comes from the root tendency of trying to lord over the material. We are trying to become heroes. But we are actually not masters, we are servants. So this is a basic philosophy.
That is correspondence is not
like,
there won't be any communication.
From between whom?
If we are not recognized.
By whom?
By others.
Why not? No, if a college is giving you a course, so you are a teacher, naturally you will be appreciated as a teacher by everyone. That is acceptable for the poor. But what I was saying about recognition is something different. What I am saying, if somebody wants to show off more than what he actually is, or somebody may be, say, a peon in a bank, but when he comes out, he wears coat, suit, tie, pants, shoes, cap, everything, cleaning glass. He wants to show that I am working in Indian bank, he may say. Tomorrow he goes there and he will be sleeping. And here you see him, he looks like a manager. for people try to show off like that. So that kind of desire for recognition will really put you in a troublesome state of mind. You cannot be peaceful. Yeah.
You should get recognized, but to a level.
No! Tunarapi shani chana means you should be like a straw in the street. That is the level of recognition you should expect. How much recognition a straw gets in the street? All of you, when you are coming to the class today, did you count how many straws did you put your leg on? Huh? Who notices a straw? This is the state of complete egolessness, free from false ego. That is the state in which mind can be completely at peace. That means the degree to which you want your ego to be satisfied, that much your mind will be fixed. So you will be ready for that. Yes. He said, once you recognize oneself to be servant and servant and servant of devotee, that's the only identity that you have.
It finds very easy to be recognized.
Is it until then? Happily? Happily? No, that happiness is actually called as sense gratification. The happiness that comes from being recognized is technically called as?
I went to State Bank of India. The manager told me that since you are a teacher, I will sanction your loan for 6,000 immediately. So within 8 hours, you sanction my loan since I have already.
So when we are recognized, as very good point in there, when you are recognized, you feel very happy in this world. And to the degree to which you feel happy, the same amount of misery will come at a later time when you are not recognized. In the result, he says, Shitoshna Sukha Dukeshu Tata Mahana Apamanayo. He says, no? Shitoshna Sukha Dukeshu. Shita and Vishna, peace and cold. Sukha and Dukkha. Once you learn to see both of them alike, only such a person can be a man of peaceful mind. Can you make a mound without digging up it? So when you dig up it, then you can make a mountain. Similarly, now you are happy, but happiness will also take another shape and come later on as misery. So it is very difficult to suppress the happiness because it is sense gratification. So we should always learn to understand this of Krishna's arrangement, whether it is sukha or dukkha, both. I think we should... No.
You said
when you come to this world, you should see it as a dark planet and heaven is a better place. I think heaven and spiritual world are not the same, but has to be clarified. Heaven is only within the material world. Spiritual world is far beyond. So what is so bad about this material world? Probably you must have heard some seminars from materialistic people. They speak, they say, try to see this world as a wonderful place. Then you can be peaceful and mad. Don't be pessimistic. We are not pessimistic. We are simply exposing you to the reality. We are not pessimistic. When I tell you that your eyes are going to go inside your ears and hear properly, teeth are going to fall, is it pessimism? Or when I tell you that you are going to die, is it pessimism? When I tell you that you cannot even hold the hand properly with the stick, is it pessimism? So these are all actually realities. We are simply exposing you to the reality. And the real home of the spirit soul is kingdom of God. And to be with Krishna always and serve him eternally to the nature of every living thing. And from that you have just momentarily come here. But one moment is equivalent to millions of years in the material world. Although it is momentary from spiritual call, it is like millions of years here, and it is called as a dark night for the soul. Because the soul, what is it doing here in this world? He is just rotting here. Prabhupada used to use the word rot. Simply rotting and running here and there thinking he can enjoy separate from Krishna, but what can he enjoy? No, he cannot get any enjoyment. And the enjoyment is actually technically called as mitigation of suffering. It's like if somebody is hitting, because they are hitting against a wall. And you go and stop him, why are you hitting like this? He says, whenever I take my head away from the wall, I feel very happy. Is it a very intelligent thing to do? In this world also, whenever you are not suffering, you consider happiness. It is actually not happiness at all. Because his body is like an industry, as I told you. All the time it is giving us trouble. So many troubles are there. So if you want to stay in this horrible material body, which is actually a humiliation upon the soul, and try to make a good situation in the world, try to call it a beautiful world, you can say people write so many poems. But the beautiful part of it is very fun. We all have gone to the graveyard. So, we shouldn't try to, you know, that's the same thing is call a spade a spade, isn't it? You know the saying, call a spade a spade? So should you call a spade a spade or should you call a spade a something else? So, middle world is a horrible place, call it a horrible place. Papa used to say, if you go to the latrine and you can put coal on, and you can put some sand there, but how long will it remain? Huh? After again, then after abominable smell, obnoxious smell. So a person who goes inside should immediately come out. Once his business is over there, come on, get out of it. So this middle world is compared to that. It's a horrible place for the soul. See, the soul, like we want to do so many services and we are so much having restrictions. We want money, we don't have money, we want place. So many restrictions are there for the soul. But once we go to the spiritual world, we can, with full energy, serve Krishna very nicely. So that is the aspiration of the devotee. That's why everybody wants to go back to the kingdom of God. I think we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.